If you would, turn to page 147 in your liturgy book or on your mobile service book that you might have. And you'll notice that the title of today's epistle and gospel reading, it says, "For the Sunday before the elevation of the cross." And that feast, which will be celebrated Wednesday, always September 14th, is one of the big feasts of the Lord. And so the Sunday before that feast is set aside also as a focus on the cross, the crucifixion, and therefore the Bible readings have to do with that. A selection has been made. Obviously, the day of the feast will have Bible readings dealing with the cross, and also the Sunday after the feast. So next Sunday, we'll be reading Bible readings for the so-called Sunday after the elevation of the cross, and it kind of breaks the normal rhythm of readings. We were reading 1 Corinthians last week, and now it's, what, Galatians or something. And then, if you remember from some other lessons that I gave, after that, after next Sunday, we'll start reading in church the Gospel of Luke every year. That's the break. We'll be done with reading Matthew as far as we got, and it's always in September, the Sunday after we're done with the cross, and the Sunday after the cross, then we start reading the Gospel of Luke, and that we'll be reading Luke until, you know, Christmas and, you know, Lent begins and stuff like that. So anyway, this particular epistle reading was selected because it has to do a little bit with the cross, where St. Paul says, you know, "But far be it from me to glory," or to boast, actually, "except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Now, we got to kind of, if you want to understand the fuller meaning of this particular reading, what was happening is, you know, as Christianity, you know, very in the early years of Christianity, everybody was sharing it and teaching it, and maybe there wasn't, you know, a really good way of certifying who was teaching the right things exactly. So there were some teachers and what Paul will call fake or false apostles or whatever. They were going around and teaching Christianity, telling people to how to become Christians, but they were adding things to it. And what this particular thing that he's referring to is, you've got to remember that in the Roman Empire, okay, there was the Caesars, right? Augustus, Tiberius, whoever. The Jewish religion was considered illegal. So if you were a Jew, you were allowed to practice. I mean, they recognized Judaism, okay, but they didn't recognize Christianity. Christianity wasn't one of the recognized religions until Constantine came along. So the sign, according to the commentaries that I've read, obviously the sign of being a Jew for men anyway was circumcision, which we can talk about maybe or not some other time. There's no discreet way to talk about that. I honestly don't know. Maybe January 1st. On the Feast of the Circumcision of the Lord. It's a Sunday. We'll dedicate our points to that. Leave your kids at home. Anyway, so some people were saying to these people who wanted to become Christians, you know, but you got to be circumcised, because that way, you know, the Romans won't give you any trouble. And Paul is saying, you know, these people, if they want to become Jews, then they have to keep everything, not just circumcision. Then they have to keep all the laws of the Jews. He's saying they don't do that. So, I mean, this circumcision that they're doing, this sort of, you know, being a member, you know, and being safe as far as the government was concerned, he says that's not part of our teaching. It's not part of our practice. And, you know, as a matter of fact, we read in the book of Acts that some years later there was the Council of the Apostles where they absolutely said we do not enforce circumcision on the Gentiles when they, you know, the people who are not Jews, you know, when they become Christians, they certainly do not have to become Jews first and then Christians. Okay, so that's why he's saying, why he brought it up. And he said, these people, these false apostles, they want to be able to say, hey, you know, we got Christians and we made sure that they, you know, actually got circumcised, and they're boasting in the fact that they got these fellas to, you got to be amazed at these people's dedication. It wasn't just that they changed their faith. They went and allowed themselves to be mutilated, you know, for the wrong reason. But anyway, like we said. So he says, well, now, another thing to keep in mind, whenever we hear cross, crucifixion. You got to think everything that goes with it. As far as the Lord is concerned, cross, crucifixion, death, and resurrection, the whole plan, you know, goes together. So he's saying, and why is he bringing up the cross when he's talking about circumcisions? Because when we talk about it in January, I'll tell you why baptism is actually the fulfillment and the replacement of circumcision. Baptism and its meaning and its effects, it is the actual fulfillment of what circumcision was a prototype, any kind of foreshadowing of. I'll go over that, but that's why he's bringing it up here. He says, you guys are all boasting about circumcision, and I'm telling you, there's nothing I would boast about except the cross, the crucifixion. Now, where does baptism come in? Well, if you've been to a baptism, and we've all been to baptisms, if you hear, listen to the epistle reading, Paul says, all of you, all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. Death, crucifixion, resurrection, you know, death, so that we can be reborn and live. And it says, if we participate in a death like Christ's, then we will be raised in a resurrection like Christ's when, you know, at the time of the resurrection, right? So death, baptism, death, the Lord's death, baptism, all the sacraments come from the death, resurrection. You know, all, there's this, you know, we're theologians in our own sort of a way. We got to have these things floating in our mind so we can connect the dots, or that's my job to connect the dots for you. All right, so he's saying, I'm not going to boast in anything. And then that famous, other than Christ crucified, the crucifixion, that's what gives me my life, that's what I'm going to boast about. And then he says that famous saying, says that by which cross the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And a lot has been, you know, preachers will take that and do long sermons and even write whole books, you know, about what that means. Remember, crucifixion means death, okay? So it says, through the cross, it says, the world has been crucified to me, basically means the world is dead to me, according to the commentaries that I read. Don't try to think of, you know, nailing a globe or something, or a map, you know, to your body. That's not what he's talking about. The world is dead to me. The world, there's nothing in the world, not the glory, not the wealth, not the persecutions, not the threats. There's nothing the world can give me that can hurt me as a Christian, he says. The world is dead to me. As if it is inert and can't affect what's important to me. And then he goes the second step and he says, and I am dead to the world. I am crucified to the world, basically saying, and as what he's saying is, and I'm, as far as the world is concerned, I'm dead because I don't you know, respond the way they want me to threats of persecution. And, you know, I don't change my teaching. You know, I don't care whether they kill me, as I'm dead, you know, to the world. How that affects us is that if the world dead to us is that we don't want to be affected as Christians, we have died with Christ, right? So we're dead to worldly things, and that will come into play when we talk about January 1st. And then if we endure, the other half of it were, and I am crucified to the world, that has been explained in spiritual terms that as Christians, when we endure patiently whatever comes to us, the persecutions, the hardships, the difficulties that inevitably come, but if we endure them with fortitude and gratitude and patience and hope in the Lord, then that's kind of a fulfillment of us being kind of dead to the world and crucified to the world. Enough for today. Let's stand and pray.